Ready to wear. In New York City, 1911, she eyes shirtwaists at Macy's, tailored in lingerie styles in cotton, linen, viola flannel, crepe de chine, soft messaline and stiff taffeta silk, butterfly wing thin chiffon for evenings, collars and cuffs filigreed with embroidered flowers, Clooney lace trimming and beads.
Wearing the waist she makes from the cheapest white fabric, soaks in the sink and drip dries in her Lower East Side apartment.
The waist she wears to work on Green Street, on the 9th floor of Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, side by side and facing 277 women like her,
each fixed to her sewing machine,
night and day,
tucking and setting, stitching waists, too pricey for the wages she shares with family from malaria-soaked southern Italy, Russian towns, and cities where czarist neighbors blame her kin for their failing empire.
The waist she wears to meetings of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union Local 25, to walk the picket line on Green Street in wind and snow, to return to the factory's 9th floor.
Until Saturday, when embers from a cigarette transform cotton and paper left from the day's 1,000 shirtwaists into flames, blousing and eating tables and chairs, skirt hems, cuffs, collars, skin and hair. The way she wears, pushing the exit door that won't open, running through blazing rooms, upstairs to the 10th floor window to air on the roof, hair and coat smoldering. The waist she wears to march in Manhattan in memory of her 150 colleagues, some carbonized completely, some who jumped from the 9th floor wearing waists of fire.
The waist she dons to her boss's trial to respond to the attorney. Yes, the exit door was locked.
The waist she remakes into a bell-shaped chemise to wear while earning barely enough to live, as she stitches millions of ready-to-wear blouses in Bangladesh factories for the world's biggest brands to be sold everywhere, even at Macy's.